Johnny tied the cable away from the accumulator so it couldn't short again, and then ran out toward the crowd. As he passed his plane, the German co-pilot was fumbling his way out of the door. He called something, but Johnny couldn't hear him. Reaching the crowd, Johnny found a coordinator struggling to his knees. Others were stirring, sitting up groggily. The place was a litter of fallen banners, musical instruments, and odds and ends of what must have been a planned celebration. The coordinator's mouth was moving, and Johnny thought the Scot must have lost his voice. He couldn't hear anything the coordinator was saying. Johnny turned and saw an escort plane had landed. He hadn't heard that. Suddenly, he realized it was this confounded helmet of Ivan's. Johnny unfastened the chin strap and got the huge, thick ear pads off his ears.
"And how did you get here?"
the coordinator was saying.
"I flew in,"
said Johnny, a bit sharply.
"That's my ship right over there."
"There's a creature on the ground,"
said the coordinator. He was pointing at the tied-up Tolnep.
"How did he get there?"
For a moment, Johnny was a trifle exasperated. All this shooting and running. It dawned on him, none of these people had observed a thing that had gone on. The people were confused and embarrassed. The three tribal chiefs there were coming up, bowing, upset. They had lost face. They had planned a very fine reception. See the banners, the musical instruments, the presents there. And he had already landed. So please excuse them. The coordinator was trying to answer Johnny's questions. No, they hadn't seen anything strange. They had all come out here shortly after sunup to wait, and then here he was, and their schedule was all out of kilter now, and it must be 9 of the morning. What? 2 of the afternoon? No, that can't be. Let's see your watch. They wanted to start the reception up now, even though they didn't feel that well. Johnny told the coordinator in charge to hold it off a bit and got to the radio. On local command, he told the two planes still holding to be very alert to any ship in orbit. Then he switched to planetary pilot band, knowing well it could be heard by the visitors. He got Sir Robert in Africa.
"The little birds tried to sing here,"
said Johnny. They didn't have a code. They surely needed one. But he was making do.
"All okay now, but our friend Yvonne in his new hole must have a ceiling. Got it?"
Robert the Fox got it. He knew Johnny meant him to get air cover to the Russian base, and he would right away.
"Have our own band play Swenson's Lament,"
said Johnny. There was no such Scott Piper lament. Planetary radio silence, if you please. If the visitors had known he would be here, they were monitoring unguarded speech.
"I may play a note or two, but otherwise, Swenson's Lament."
He turned off. The situation was more dangerous than he had thought. For all the people on this planet. Only he had been deaf. Only he had been able to act. Therefore, that bell-mouthed barrel had been emitting a sound wave of high intensity that produced a total paralysis. So that's how the Tolneps did their slave trade.